Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1987, the movie Dirty Dancing was released. So this hour we're going to feature a bunch of music from the soundtrack. I'm Scoot, and I'm really glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Man, I had an early morning meeting with Brian Garrity and his wife Betsy, and this was a little breakfast bistro in the CBD early this morning. So I was in traffic at 7:15. And boy, I don't know what happened on the interstate, but it was a Charlie Foxtrot. I mean, it was a mess. I couldn't, from West End, I couldn't even get on the interstate. And then I started to go around to Canal. Once I finally got on Canal, it was smooth sailing, but just getting on Canal was all backed up. So a lot of people, I guess, were thinking like I was, but man, that was a mess. And another power outage. Man, this stuff is really inconvenient. And to think that some people missed some of the Democratic convention last night. All right, so we've been talking this afternoon about the hope of the Democrats versus the despair, the doom and gloom of the Trump-Vance campaign. And, you know, I don't know if at this point in his life, Donald Trump, you know, I remember Donald Trump when he was the Playboy businessman. And he seemed like a, you know, kind of a fun-loving guy. I don't know whether he's unhappy with his girth. I don't know if he's just unhappy with his life, if he doesn't like himself. I mean, he sounds like he really likes himself. But I wonder if deep down inside, Donald Trump is really disgruntled and he doesn't like himself. And I don't know if he has the ability to be positive because people around him are telling him that he's got to be positive or he's going to lose the election. And people who are really strong Trump allies like Lindsey Graham and Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, he's telling Trump, get off of all that stuff and start focusing on a better message. And Donald Trump hasn't been doing that. So anyway, you know, this is a really interesting election cycle. And as I said earlier, and as I've said all along, I understand why many of you are voting for Donald Trump. I mean, I get it. Because of what's happened in your life or whatever. I get that. I have my opinions of Donald Trump. On this show, we're an alternative to the conservative shows that are so common around this country. And they do the same thing every single day. So, you know, in my wisdom, like when I started my radio career, I started doing something a little different than the other DJs were doing on the air. And I became a big success. So I'm doing something a little different. I'm providing an alternative and not following the lead of everybody else. You can get all that other stuff somewhere else. So, you know, we're a little different in that way. We're an admitted alternative to those shows. So I'm honest about Donald Trump. And, you know, let me get back to this. Yesterday at the end of the show, somebody texted in something about the fact that I lie. I don't lie. I don't lie on this show. And I think some people think that if I say something that they disagree with, or if I say something negative about Donald Trump, that's a lie. It's not a lie. I've never made up a lie. I've never told a lie on this show. And so I told the guy in the text, I said, send me one lie that I've told on the air. My email address is scoot@wwl.com. Do you know what I got back from him? Nothing. If he's so bold to hide behind his keyboard and say, you lie, you're a liar. Tell me one lie I've told. He couldn't do it. And so in talking about that earlier, I get an email from Shane. I don't need to mention his last name. This guy Shane. He says, here is the lie that you've told. He says, I do lie, and here's the lie. It is in the photo. This is not the photo that you shared a few months ago on your Facebook page. This is the photo that the guy you took the photo with shared on your post, proving that you did read his shirt. You lied over the air to the audience, saying that when you took the picture with this guy in the background, you did not read his shirt until after you posted it, which was a lie. You took the photo with this guy at the same event, and we know that you read. We know that you read the shirt. When people like myself was posting this photo on your Facebook post, proving that you definitely read the guy's shirt to take this photo with the guy by your side, you lied again and said on Facebook you got hacked. So stop saying that you don't lie. This was an event that happened at St. Louis King of France. You remember this, Ian? And it was a guy.
Who I
had
remember
a,
this.
It had a guy
this
had
controversy.
A guy had a shirt. A guy had a shirt on, and it said something. What was the shirt? It said something like
"Trying my hard to raise kids that aren't liberal."
Yeah, or something like that. And I just, you know, just
I'm just
you
a
know,
dad who doesn't want to raise liberal kids. Something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So just for fun, I posted this. And said, you know, I don't think this is the time or place. I don't think a kid's fair is the time or place to wear something that has a political message on it, because we're so divided and because there's so much hate involved in politics. And so that exploded. That went viral. So this guy, his wife or girlfriend took this picture. It's me and this guy. This person, Shane, says that I read his shirt. Shane, you don't know that I read his shirt. And I'm going to tell you this once again. The truth is, I took a picture with this guy. I take pictures with a lot of people. I take pictures with big-breasted women. I take pictures with women who show cleavage. And I don't look down at their cleavage. I took a picture with this guy. I look the listener in the eye. Somebody wants to take a picture of me. I look him in the eye. I was looking this guy in the eye. I did not read his shirt. So, I didn't lie. And if we're talking about lying on this show, usually we're you know, people are talking about politics. Shane, even if I did lie about this, if this is the best you got, I mean, you got nothing on me. But the truth is, I saw this guy in a video. I did a video, and this guy was in the background. And I did not realize that it was the same guy that I took a picture with, and I did not read his shirt. And Shane, there's no way you can prove that I read his shirt. I'm sorry you don't believe me, but I'm an honest person, and I would have admitted that I read his shirt if I had. But I did not read his shirt, and you don't know that I read his shirt because I'm standing next to him. You know, I take a lot of pictures. I'm not always focused on what somebody's wearing. So, again, you know, I mean, that's like even, not even an issue. So, anyway, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are saying the polls are fake. But recently, when they were ahead, when Biden was still in the race, they said the same polls were true. And they were doing email blasts. They were doing all kind of blasts promoting the polls that showed Donald Trump ahead. The same polls now show that he's either behind or even with Kamala Harris. I'm not making this up. This is true. Now, conservative shows are not going to point this out because it's something negative about Donald Trump. But it is the truth, and we're not afraid to talk about the truth on the show. So I just think it's really hypocritical to criticize the same polls that you were promoting when you were ahead, and now they're fake polls because you're behind. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Okay, I got a couple texts that are just hot reacts to some of the callers we had today. Danny in LaPlace is reacting to, oh, damn, who's the guy we talked to at 250?
250, Bob?
Bob. Yes. Danny says, Bob, hey, after that last call, ask Scoot if he still believes the full moon doesn't matter with all these cuckoos.
Boy, they've been coming out. But, I think it has more to do with politics. I think people are upset. I think there are a lot of Trump supporters who are upset. They might not want to admit it, or maybe they don't even realize it, but they're getting to be very, very aggressive with their attacks and their defense of Donald Trump. And I think somewhere deep inside they're concerned.
I would love to sit down with Bob or with Julie and have a drink or a cup of coffee or shirt pool or whatever. And I'm sure there's more interesting things about them than these, I think, sort of misguided political takes. But this is the time of year where everybody wants to make sure that everybody else knows that the most interesting thing about them is the way they think about politics. Yep. And for most people, they don't think about politics. They just yap about it because for them, it's just a reason to be angry and feel a few inches taller. And it's not about analyzing who's doing better at the campaign or whose policies are really, you know, preferable at the nitty gritty level. It's just an excuse to be mad.
But I think that there are a lot of people whose lives are not so exciting, and their political ideology and what they believe and standing up for Donald Trump, this is the most important thing in their lives. I mean, I know people like this. And again, I'm estranged from people because of this. And it's really sad that you would pick a stranger over somebody you've known as long as you've known me. But you know, life goes on.
Here's a text that says, what's amazing and admirable is that people like Julie tune into your show. Julie needs yoga and meditation in her life.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It seems like the people who disagree with me listen longer than the people who agree with me.
Here's a text that says, man, I like listening to talk radio, but it's the same BS every day. Scoot's going to need a stronger tea to get through this, LOL.
Yeah, well, I drink decaf, so, you know, the problem is, I would probably be better off if I could drink caffeine.
Yeah, I'm doing the high octane stuff in here, man.
No, I can't mess around with that. If I drank caffeine tea, if I drank caffeinated tea, there would be an incident on the air.
Yikes! Well, I texted that person back and I said, "Hey, man, election season is always like this, and there's only 75 more days, so just hang in there. We're gonna get through it together."
No, it's not this ramped up. I mean, it's a little bit. It's look, people always get excited during an election year, but I've never seen anything like this. And the way people are reacting, it's, you know, it's crazy. And again, I think the people who have put such a down payment on Donald Trump, they feel like that they're going to be losers if he loses. And you're not a loser if he loses. You know, it doesn't affect who you are. I had one caller say, well, no, Donald Trump, if he doesn't win, it is going to affect who you are. No, it doesn't affect you as a person. If you allow it to, it does. But, man, you're the same person whether Trump wins or loses.
I'll give you four more quick ones. Here's a text that says, as far as the borders, everyone wants to put up walls and fences. Nobody wants to talk about the illegals or the immigrants with visas that don't renew them, but they pose a bigger threat to America.
That's a problem, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, like that caller Bob, it's like, I mean, what does he want me to do? He criticized me for not doing what I have done for a long time, and that is talk about the border being a crisis. We were talking about this when Trump was president. The border was a crisis then. It's a crisis now. It's gotten worse under Biden. I don't know what else I can do other than call out the administration and call out Kamala Harris for whatever role she might play in it. Again, I'm doing my job when it comes to that.
Three more. Papa Griff is listening today. He says, guys, it's pretty simple. If you like the way things are going and are better off now than you were 4 years ago, vote to keep it the same. If you're not, vote for change. I caught part of a comment yesterday, I believe, that if you were a Christian, you shouldn't vote for Donald Trump. We are not here to judge anyone's morality. He will have to answer to a better person than me and you, and his morality is a matter between who is running. By the way, I don't condone with or agree with bad morals.
Well, that was not something that was said on the show. What was said was there's a group, Evangelicals for Trump, and I did say that I am confused by how evangelicals reconcile their beliefs with their support for Donald Trump.
Here's one that says, any thoughts on why there were no former Republican presidents or vice presidents at the RNC? In fact, nor were there any past Republican-nominated Republican presidents or vice presidents there. I don't believe they wanted to be associated with such negativity dripping out.
It's true. And there are a lot of Republicans who don't like that the Republican Party has been taken over by Donald Trump, but they allowed it to happen.
Yep. And I'll leave you with this one. This text says, how do you know if the woman you took photos with are big-breasted or not if you're not looking?
Well, you can, with your peripheral vision, vision,
okay,
you can see. And I mean, when somebody's walking up to me, I can tell if they have large breasts.
Okay,
but it doesn't mean that I'm like staring at their breasts.
Oh, sure.
I can see. Okay.
All right.
I can see that the guy who is walking up to me that I'm taking a picture with, I can see that he's wearing a shirt, but I'm not staring at the shirt.
Okay. All right. Are you a Whirlpool washing machine? Because that was some killer spin.
I'm not. Yeah, I thought I did pretty good. I'm not staring down at the cleavage. I look listeners in the eyes.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. All right. Check.
All right. All right. All right. Family show.
Okay. Let's see. All right, when we come back, I want to just share with you some thoughts on the Democrats' message of hope compared to the message of despair coming from Donald Trump. And we've got more calls and we've got more texts to get to as well. On this day, this is a very significant day in the grunge movement. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1990, Alice in Chains released their debut album. Now, grunge really started to hit mainstream America late 92, 93. But on this day in 1990, Alice in Chains, one of the groups that was part of that movement out of Seattle, released their debut album, Facelift. And it was one of the early grunge albums that started to get some mass appeal attention. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this day in 1987, Dirty Dancing was released. Great soundtrack. We're going to feature music from the soundtrack for the rest of the show's bumper music. This is one of the songs. And you know, when you hear songs from a movie soundtrack, you can't help but envision the scene that that song reminds us of. Say what you want, think what you want about how terrible and destructive you think Vice President Kamala Harris is and the policies of liberal Democrats are. But the positive message of hope in America that is projecting from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago is drowning out the doom and gloom about America emanating from the Trump campaign. There is definitely something in the human spirit in many Americans that chooses hope over despair. And the positive attitude of the speakers at the DNC is appealing compared to the Trump-Vance campaign telling us that we're headed into a 1929-type depression and we're teetering on the verge of World War III. Republicans who are diehard followers of Donald Trump, the right-wing radicals, the MAGAites, they believe that Donald Trump was sent to save America, and they instill fear in voters that failing to vote for and elect Donald Trump will lead to the demise of democracy and the demise of America. And those Republicans have the right to their beliefs that Trump is the answer to everything that is wrong with America. But many people will choose hope over fear, particularly at a time when the political and emotional divide in America has been so strong and has bred hate. Last night, former First Lady Michelle Obama took the stage and spoke about hope and opportunities. Admittedly, that's a message that was not heard by Trump followers who are blinded by their own bias. But the problem for the Trump-Vance campaign is that many Americans have heard and received the message, and they welcome what they're hearing in these times where hate is defining politics. Former President Barack Obama followed his wife on the DNC stage, and the two offered positive messages of hope making a comeback. And this could work. Some of the stuff that I'm hearing from the DNC is reminding me of Ronald Reagan's farewell address to the nation in 1989, when he spoke of America striving to be a better nation, and he envisioned America as a shining city on a hill. On Fox News, Republican strategist and former advisor to George W. Bush, Karl Rove, said Michelle Obama's speech was better than her husband's, and it was an excellent speech. Fox News' senior correspondent, Brett Hume, called her speech excellent, charming, affecting. Dana Perino, a Fox News anchor, agreed the speech by the former First Lady was excellent. The praises for Michelle Obama's speech on Fox News to that audience must have been nauseating to many Fox News viewers. But the point is that even the number one rated cable news network that collectively promotes Donald Trump and conservative ideology, there were Republicans who were praising the speech as a warning that the Harris-Walz ticket and the Democrats have seized a moment in time when America has been dangerously divided, and they're promoting hope and prosperity. The Trump-Vance ticket continues to speak only about things that affect Trump's most loyal followers. Trump needs rhinos. Trump needs the followers that they have demeaned over time. They need those people to vote for him if they want him to win. And Harris may be extremely liberal. She may be extremely liberal from her time in the Senate, but she's now presenting herself as more moderate. So who is she? And can she get away with that change? We have to wait and see. But Trump cannot win without broadening his base. And with the ugly insults that Harris is dumb, Trump is ignoring advice and continuing down this path that has been blazed by his ego. Many Trump supporters are myopic in their belief that because their family and friends love Trump, that Trump is going to win and everybody loves him. That's a very dangerous attitude to maintain when the Democrats are gaining significant ground in the polls on the former president. You know, it's in Trump's personality to be degrading and to use fear to inspire people. But it seems that Americans are tired of despair and tired of these messages, and they want a message of hope. That may be a winning message. It's still a long way until November, but Trump and his followers should be concerned that the candidate that they support will forever be the former president. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, you're on WWL.
Scoot, thank you so much. I have a lot to say. Julie, if you're listening, there are three articles that was in the New York Times national section Monday. I believe that would debunk just about everything you said, or close to everything. For example, Kamala Harris. Oh, and by the way, Kamala Harris wants to reorganize ISIS. She doesn't want to abolish it. Now, Kamala Harris was never in charge of the border. She was given an assignment to help prove economic conditions in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And she did that very well. As a result of her work, 30 to 40% fewer immigrants are coming into the nation from those countries. Now, and I want to get to Trump's economic policies, but real quick, there's a book out called Collision of Powers, I believe. Evidently, Donald Trump sat down and had dinner with Jeffrey Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post. It's been written that Trump wanted Bezos to give him better coverage in the Washington Post. Bezos refused. The next day, according to this book, from what I understand, Trump called Bezos. He shouted, cursed, and threatened him. And then Trump either tried or did have postal rates increase for the packages. He said, I think Bezos was ripping off the post office or Amazon. And now that is weaponizing the White House, and that is attacking the First Amendment. You see, it's all about Trump. Now, Trump wants to increase tariffs. It was quoted in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, for every dollar of tariffs on any given item, you pay $2 to $4 more at the checkout counter. Now, Trump wants the drill baby drill to bring down inflation. It was written in the Wall Street Journal yesterday.
You know, David, we're getting off the topic of the show, and I mean,
no, we're not.
You're getting off deep into areas where, you know, we're really not talking about that, and I can't have you calling every day where you're just making a speech.
I haven't called since Monday. Scoot,
well, you called yesterday.
These people. But Trump, no, I didn't call yesterday.
I think you did.
And listen, let me ask you another question.
No, I
David.
Did not.
Why do you say Kamala? It's Kamala.
I apologize. I'm excited.
But why
I'm
do you say? Why do you say? But
wrong.
Why do people say Kamala?
It's Kamala. I know.
Okay.
Well, but Trump is talking about bringing down inflation by drilling, and it's a joke because this country is producing a massive amount of surplus of natural gas. And the International Monetary...
All right, okay, but see, this is where we're off deep. We're not... I mean, this is not even the focus of our discussion today. But you can't...
about Trump's policies.
No, we're not talking about Trump's policies. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about hope versus despair. And we're talking about, again, we're not getting, I want to stop people from just making campaign speeches. And you've got a wealth of knowledge, but it turns into
I'm not making campaign speeches. I'm talking facts.
Well, David, it's a campaign speech based on the facts that you're presenting. You can argue it any way you want, but in your opinion, it might not be a speech. But
the lies and misstatements and misinformation that Trump
but you're
is
not,
putting
you're
out
not
and
going,
deceiving
if
people.
If you want to respond to a caller, you're not going down the list of things that she said like I did and responded afterwards. And so, this business of, you know, calling in and starting a campaign speech, because quite often you get off the subject, I'm happy to have you call in and be part of the show, but not if you go directly off into a campaign speech.
Show,
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. It's not really what we're talking
really
about.
And I'm trying to educate them. I thought I was doing a service.
Well, you can call it a service, but, you know, I'm not in the business to provide a service for people. We're in the business to do a show, and
well, I
expect people. Well, David, I expect people who call into the show to appreciate the theme of the show and go along with that and not get off into, you know, Trump-specific policies.
I can help here. David, Ian here. When you spoke on the phone with me, you said, I want to respond to what Julie said. I said, okay,
yes,
we'll put David on there. Now, hang on a second. Yeah, but then you spent about 10% of your time reacting to Julie, and the rest of the time that we've spent since then, we're talking about the IMF and this meeting with Jeff Bezos. That's stuff for Friday, man. That's free for all Friday. If you want to call in and educate people apropos of nothing about what we're talking about this idle Wednesday afternoon, do that on Friday, okay?
Well, I really thought I was on the topic.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, David.
I mean, you're a wealth of knowledge. I get that. But it turns into a campaign speech. Janice calls and she turns, you know, it's the same message every single day now. There was a time that Janice called almost every day and she was talking about the drag queens. Then it was every day about the border and whatever it is, and whatever she's into at the moment, it turns into a campaign speech. And this is not time for that. You know, if you're going to call the show, just get into the spirit of what we're talking about at the moment. And I want everybody to do that. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Another song from the soundtrack of Dirty Dancing, which was released on this day in 1987. We'll be right back on WWL. Beetlejuice, the musical, is coming to the Sanger. Tickets go on sale this Friday, August 23rd. It's going to be fun. I wonder if Lauren Boebert's going to be there. If I bring my girlfriend, I promise not to grope her.
Bobo. I don't think she wants to see Beetlejuice anymore.
Man, I mean, how dumb was that? You know, like openly like groping somebody or letting them grope you.
And then lying about it, like,
yeah,
like the venue doesn't have a camera pointed at God. Like, come on.
I mean,
she's dumb as a box of rocks.
Some people are just dumb. All right, Bubbles and Old Jefferson, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Bubbles.
How are you, Stu?
Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, no problem. So I'm gonna rebut two things that miserable sounding woman said earlier, but I want to cite my sources here.
Okay.
My source is PolitiFact, and I checked them on Media Bias Fact Check, and they are said to rate high for factual reporting and a credible fact checker that's not without bias. But what is not without bias? So.
Okay.
She talked about immigration and free taxpayer, free funded health benefits. She never said that she supports free health coverage. She said everyone in the country should have access to public health. There's no evidence that she would provide the coverage for free. So that's
okay.
Not true.
That was a mistake by a caller earlier who went through this list of things that she said Kamala Harris stands for, and it all wasn't true.
Correct.
Okay.
The other one, because I know I couldn't do all of the things she said, was defunding the police. She talked about re-examining police budgets, and she talked about the city being able to do that. But she said police were necessary and told the New York Times in June of 2020, we're not going to get rid of the police. Trump always says that she wants to defund the police, but that makes voters think that she's doing that right now.
Well, these are the lies. These are the lies that we point out on the show. I mean, this is the misinformation that has been accepted by not all, but a lot of Trump supporters, and they repeat it.
Absolutely.
Like they know exactly what they're talking about. I question whether or not she really wants to defund the police because, you know, there are things that can be done, and it's labeled defund the police like they want to get rid of the police department. And again, that is a that's some brainwashed rhetoric that's going on.
Exactly. And the other thing, you talked about Trump earlier. I think he's a miserable person. And I think, and I've said this for years, because I didn't like him when he used to be on Letterman all the time. I think he has an inferiority complex, which is why he talks about himself and how great he is and how everything he does is the best, yada, yada, yada. You know, some of the people that follow him, if you say he was convicted on 34 counts, they say he wasn't convicted because he hasn't been sentenced yet. And it's not truly a conviction until he's sentenced. That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works.
Yep.
So I feel sorry for some of these people, but I think a lot of them are as miserable as he is.
Yeah. Bubbles, you know? I appreciate the call. You know, I do have a feeling that the Donald Trump is miserable as a human being. And you know, maybe because his dad gave him money to start, maybe he really feels like he really hasn't done anything himself. And so maybe he has an inferiority complex. JR on the North Shore, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Real quickly, earlier today I was in the parking lot of a local store. And the guy in front of me, we were looking for parking places. He had a truck that had the military honors license plate on there.
Yeah.
So he parked in the handicapped spot, and I went down past him a little bit. And I walked back, and I saw him getting out. And he was an amputee, and he had the walking, you know, cast on right there. And it just makes you think about, you know, what he's went through. You don't know his story, but, you know, what he's done, you know, in service to our country. So yesterday I was at the post office, and an older white gentleman had a service dog. And he had a Navy retired hat on. And I held the door for when he went out. And he was walking out. They had an elderly black guy on a walker. And he had a Korean War veteran hat on his logo on his hat. And these two guys did not know each other. But they walked up, and they shook hands. And I was just standing there. And they introduced themselves. And one said, I served in Korea, and I served in Vietnam. And they thanked each other for their service.
That's cool.
It was a moment, man. It was kind of one of those things. You know, it's just like two old friends, but they were so blessed with what they've done and how proud they serve their country.
JR, that's such a great story. I mean, I'm so glad you shared that with us because, that's a reality in America.
Let me go a little further, okay? That's why I'm bringing this up. I told you, last night I'm watching the convention, and they had a lady senator, I think from Illinois, and her name is Tammy Duckworth, and she's a double amputee. And when you first look at it, you don't really know her story either. But if you delve into a little bit, she was a helicopter pilot, a lieutenant colonel, female helicopter pilot, shot down in Iraq and lost both of her legs and partial use of her arm. And she, I mean, things like this just makes you wonder how, you know, people like Trump just denigrate the service of these heroes. You know, and they are heroes.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to kind of bring that out. So.
Man, JR, I'm glad you did. And I think one of the issues with Trump is I think there is deep, deep rooted guilt because he went to trouble to stay out of the military. He cheated to get out of the military. And maybe his daddy with the money helped out. But I think he might feel some deep rooted guilt over that. And so maybe for him, it's okay to dismiss the soldiers that took bullets, the soldiers that really did sacrifice for our country. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Another song from Dirty Dancing. You know, it's one of those movies that if it's on and it's halfway over, I'll still watch it from that point to the end. Dirty Dancing released on this day in 1987. All right, Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, Steve Geller coming up next. Jeff Duncan, columnist for the TP, NOLA.com. At 4:20 this afternoon. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank you for being part of the show. The Facebook page has taken off, so I hope you'll join me. Scoot on the Air Facebook, comment on what we post, and comment on the comments. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. Beetlejuice, the musical, is coming to the Sanger. Tickets go on sale this Friday, August 23rd. It's going to be fun. I wonder if Lauren Boebert's going to be there. If I bring my girlfriend, I promise not to grope her.
Bobo. I don't think she wants to see Beetlejuice anymore.
Man, I mean, how dumb was that? You know, like openly, like groping somebody. Or letting them grope you.
And then lying about it. Like,
yeah.
Like the venue doesn't have a camera pointed at the, God. Like, come on.
I mean,
she's dumb as a box of rocks.
Some people
man.
Are just dumb. All right, Bubbles and Old Jefferson, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Bubbles.
How are you, Scoot?
Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, no problem. So I'm gonna rebut two things that miserable sounding woman said earlier, but I want to cite my sources here.
Okay.
My source is PolitiFact, and I checked them on Media Bias Fact Check, and they are said to rate high for factual reporting and a credible fact checker that's not without bias. But what is not without bias? So.
Okay.
She talked about immigration and free taxpayer, free funded health benefits. She never said that she supports free health coverage. She said everyone in the country should have access to public health. There's no evidence that she would provide the coverage for free. So that's
okay.
Not true.
That was a mistake by a caller earlier who yes. went through this list of things that she said Kamala Harris stands for, and it all wasn't true.
Correct.
Okay.
The other one, because I know I couldn't do all of the things she said, was defunding the police. She talked about re-examining police budgets, and she talked about the city being able to do that. But she said police were necessary and told the New York Times in June of 2020, we're not going to get rid of the police. Trump always says that she wants to defund the police, but that makes voters think that she's doing that right now.
Well, these are the lies. These are the lies that we point out on the show. I mean, this is the misinformation that has been accepted by not all, but a lot of Trump supporters, and they repeat it
absolutely.
Like they know exactly what they're talking about. I question whether or not she really wants to defund the police because, you know, there are things that can be done, and it's labeled defund the police like they want to get rid of the police department. And again, that is a that's some brainwashed rhetoric that's going on.
Exactly. And the other thing, you talked about Trump earlier. I think he's a miserable person. And I think, and I've said this for years, because I didn't like him when he used to be on Letterman all the time. I think he has an inferiority complex, which is why he talks about himself yeah. and how great he is and how everything he does is the best, yada, yada, yada. You know, some of the people that follow him, if you say he was convicted on 34 counts, they say he wasn't convicted because he hasn't been sentenced yet. And it's not truly a conviction until he's sentenced. That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not the way it works.
Yep.
So I feel sorry for some of these people, but I think a lot of them are as miserable as he is.
Yeah. Bubbles, you know? I appreciate the call. You know, I do have a feeling that the Donald Trump is miserable as a human being. And you know, maybe because his dad gave him money to start, maybe he really feels like he really hasn't done anything himself. And so maybe he has an inferiority complex. JR on the North Shore, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Real quickly, earlier today I was in the parking lot of a local store, and the guy in front of me, we were looking for parking places, he had a truck that had the military honor license plate on there.
Yeah.
So he parked in the handicap spot, and I went down past him a little bit, and I walked back. And I saw him getting out, and he was an amputee, and he had the walking, you know, cast on right there. And it just makes you think about, you know, what he's went through. You don't know his story, but, you know, what he's done, you know, in service to our country. So yesterday I was at the post office, and an older white gentleman had a service dog, and he had a Navy retired hat on. And I held the door for when he went out, and he was walking out. They had an elderly black guy on a walker, and he had a Korean War veteran hat on his head. Logo on his hat. And these two guys did not know each other, but they walked up and they shook hands. And I was just standing there, and they introduced themselves. And one said, I served in Korea and I served in Vietnam. And they thanked each other for their service.
That's cool.
It was a moment, man. It was kind of one of these things, you know, it's just like two old friends, but they were so blessed with what they've done and how proud they served their country.
JR, that's such a great story. I mean, I'm so glad you shared that with us because, you know, that's a reality in America.
It is, but let me go a little further, okay? That's why I'm bringing this up. I told you, last night I'm watching the convention,
and they had a female, a lady senator, I think from Illinois, and her name is Tammy Duckworth, and she's a double amputee. And when you first look at it, you don't really know her story either, but if you delve into a little bit, she was a helicopter pilot, a lieutenant colonel, female helicopter pilot, shot down in Iraq and lost both of her legs and partial use of her arm. And she, I mean, things like this just makes you wonder how, you know, people like Trump just denigrate the service of these heroes, you know, and they are heroes.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to kind of bring that out. So.
Man, JR, I'm glad you did. And I think one of the issues with Trump is I think there is deep, deep-rooted guilt because he went to trouble to stay out of the military. He cheated to get out of the military. And maybe his daddy, with the money, helped out. But I think he might feel some deep-rooted guilt over that. And so maybe for him, it's okay to dismiss the soldiers that took bullets, the soldiers that really did sacrifice for our country. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Another song from Dirty Dancing. You know, it's one of those movies that if it's on and it's halfway over, I'll still watch it from that point to the end. Dirty Dancing, released on this day in 1987. All right, Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, Steve Geller coming up next. Jeff Duncan, columnist for the TP, NOLA.com at 4:20 this afternoon. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank you for being part of the show. The Facebook page has taken off, so I hope you'll join me. Scoot on the Air Facebook, comment on what we post, and comment on the comments. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.